What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 28. I believe that the days ahead of us, and when I speak about the days ahead of us, I'm talking about this decade, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, up to 2030, as strategic months, years for us in Christ Family Ministry, which is very definitive of what God is doing through this ministry. Amen. There are years of abundance and years of harvest. And as I pray and wait upon God, you know, He's like giving me a blueprint and a compass and direction as to how to appropriate and bring to fruition the things that He wants to do and the things He's doing right now. So this series of teaching, I want you to apply your heart to them. Amen. God told us that this year, 2020, is a year of heaven's dew. Now, that is not a cliche. It's not that every church has their own word, so we have to find our own word. No. And it's not like we sat down in a committee and said, okay, this church, we heard that this is their own word for the year, so what will be our own? This is not a brand. This is the word of God. And when God speaks, it's because He has finished what He's starting. Are you getting me? So there's something in His mind. Now, different ministries have different words because we're all working for God, but He has definite things He wants them to do. For us, there's something He wants to do, and He has given us a word. Now, the best thing that can happen to you is to run with the word He has given to us. Amen. Maybe for some other ministries, it's the year of jumping. It's the year of rejoicing. It's the year of dancing. For us, it says it's the year of heaven's dew. So, in the last few weeks, I've been studying and looking at what God is saying. Because if you take advantage of seasons, you will not struggle. If it's rainy season, all you need to do is collect water, two of us. So, there are seasons and dispensations, and there are things that God does to the agency of His word, that all you need to do is position yourself with it, align yourself, and then it comes to fruition. But you need to understand in order to believe. True of us. So as you believe, understanding comes, and as you understand, you believe better. That's the signage of understanding and believing. Mary, God walked up, sent an angel to Mary, said, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a what? A baby. Not by carnal union. And what did Mary say? All right, be it unto me. Let it be unto your handmaiden, as you have said. What did she do? She just positioned herself in line with that word. Because there was no medical explanation to bring to pass that kind of word that God was speaking. For God to say, you're not going to have a baby. You don't have a husband yet. Amen. But you're going to have a baby. And this baby is going to save the whole world. Of course, if you don't have a husband and you have a baby, that baby must save the world. Amen. That baby has to save the world because that's the only way it will justify having him without a husband. And he said, let it be done unto me. The moment she said those words, there was conception. The rest, the how, was God to handle. And it came to pass. What I'm saying is that when God speaks to us, we need to do our best to align ourselves with this so that that word can come to pass. Are you following now? So we see from Scripture, Genesis 28, what I'm reading to you is because we're reading the life of a man who I've been studying, Jacob. Genesis 28. So let's go down to verse 20. From verse 16. And Jacob awaked. That's King James. Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place what? Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just cushion your mind. This morning I want to talk about tithes. But I want to give you the background behind this teaching on tithing, because there is a lot of ignorance. But I began to look at this. Imagine somebody sleeping in a place, a fugitive, running. Then comes to a place, gets up in the morning, takes stones, begins to pour oil on it. Won't you think something is wrong with him? They say, what are you doing? He said, I'm anointing blocks. This place. Okay, now you can't understand. Imagine someone in an uncompleted building, gets up in the morning, picks a block, one of the blocks, then begins to pour oil on it. They say, what are you doing? He said, quiet. This place is gate. It's a gate. This is the gate of heaven. They say, you mean this place here? He said, yes. Shh. This is the gate of heaven. God is here. Then they say, this place is called Luz. He said, no, it's not Luz. This place is called from today Bethel. This is the house of God. One of the first things you think is that he's not feeling fine. Then he gets up as he's going to make his journey. He's talking to himself. I want you to see Jacob. He's talking. He says, God, if you will keep me and protect me and prosper my way as I'm going and bring me back to this place in peace, I can assure you, I'm making a vow today. I'll give you a tenth of whatever you give me. Wow, what a place. What a place. Kai, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Then he begins to go. It's called an encounter. Most times when we have encounters with God, are you with me? A lot of people who are around you don't even know what has happened. That's why you can be in a service and something has happened to you, and the person standing next to you is wondering, what happened to the person? You know why? When encounters are happening, is that God is making deposits in a man's life. God is putting deposits in your spirit or spiritual equipment. Are you with me? For the journey ahead. The Bible says it was in this place that he saw angels ascending and descending. Are you getting me? These laws that he called Bethel, the house of God, he was talking spiritually, significantly about the church. Amen. Amen. And you can't talk about the church without Christ. So there was a Christ encounter in Jacob's life there. But I want to give you the background. In Genesis 27, Isaac was of full age and was about to die. So Isaac, as an old man, calls his eldest son by the name Esau. Are you getting it? And says, Esau, there is something that my fathers gave to me that I want to give to you. And he was going to do it in a ceremony, because this thing is important. What is that thing called? The blessing. You see, there's a way the patriarchs perceived the blessing of God. So what is the blessing? The blessing is an empowerment to prosper. Is an empowerment to succeed, because nobody in this earth realm was desired to reach the zenith of anything in life without the empowerment of God. That's why when God created man, you know the first thing he did? The moment he created man, the Bible says in Genesis 1:28, he did what? He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, have dominion over what? The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing, over the beast, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. What was God giving to man? He was giving to man the blessing. In fact, Genesis 1:28, the Amplified Translation says, using all his vast resources. So, what makes the earth's resources to respond to people is the blessing, is an empowerment. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes what? Rich and adds no sorrow with it. That's why at every time you will notice, are you listening to me? That man, as modern as he gets, still remains as primitive as ever. What do I mean by that? No matter how people go to school, no matter how people invent things, they still discover that there is an element that makes life work. This is a reason for cults. This is a reason for people searching for that element. What is this thing that makes people to succeed? Because knowledge is important. Associations are important. But the question they ask themselves is that beyond knowledge, beyond association, there is something that makes things to do what? To work, because the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. So you look at life and you see people who have all the physical endowments to succeed, struggling. So they look for it. And don't make a mistake. Abraham understood what he had. Because when God called Abraham and said, come out of Haran, you must understand that Haran is a place, it is believed that Haran was the cradle of humanity. It was custodian or the home of charm and witchcraft in Abraham's day. So he was in a system where when people want to do something, are you with me? There are things that they engage in order to produce results. So when God was saying, Abraham, come out in Genesis chapter 12, I will make you a great nation. Abraham knew that there's no way one human being can stand up, walk out of a system, and become a nation without something upon him. Are you getting me? That is why the next thing that Abraham is told by God is that I will do what? I will bless you. Let me tell you something. Hard work alone can't make you rich. Hard work is important. In fact, when I start teaching you on GoPro, you will understand that you have to work hard. But most of them, I prefer the word diligence. Because the Jacob I'm talking to you about this morning was not a lazy man. So laziness leads to ruin. But you can also agree that there are many hardworking people that are struggling. Can I speak to you? You must always appreciate that where you are is not without the grace of God. You know, every one of you here, anything you have, anywhere you've been, you must always acknowledge that it's not possible without the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. If you read Donald Trump's, some of you are surprised, he wrote a book. He wrote books. He's a very intelligent man. Forget CNN and forget how they portray the man. He's a very smart, intelligent man. If for no other reason, you can't rule America as a dull man. Obama was a smart man. There are no dull people ruling. Even our president is an intelligent man. So make no mistake. Make no mistake. Because the intrigues and politics that exist in those realms, are you with me? They are not for dull, lazy people. I know some of you are easy to criticize leadership, but if you enter there, you will be amazed that it's a matrix of, it's a gamut of different things. You know, when a lot of you, when you say, I've taken over, I know what you are thinking, sitting inside a convoy and driving. Sometimes when you enter into the place of leadership, when they are carrying you in that convoy, you will wish you are trekking. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make no sense. But Donald Trump wrote the book, Think Like a Champion. And in that book, he was talking about the factors of success. And he talked about the things, these are things that are common in different books. They are like generic information. He said, it's good to know what you're going into. He talked about associations, being mentored. He talked about different things. But you know, there was something he mentioned. He said, in all these things, there's still an element. He didn't know the name for it. It's the name I'm introducing to you. He said, there is something that every person needs. He said, for him, maybe he'll call it luck. Because in all these things, you still need a bit of something to help you, because you can have all the inputs, but you will need to be lucky sometime. Now, that word luck is what the Bible calls the blessing. Because what he was saying is this, is that he has met people who are better experienced than himself, people who know these things better, but are not as successful as himself, because he has found himself engaged in some deals that it was no making of his that really brought those deals. And sometimes he was engaging in those deals, not expecting those outcomes, but there's like a eureka moment. This thing that I engaged in just blew. So he said he believes that, of course, he's not a Christian, but amen. Some of you say, you read books that are not Christian books. Yes. Because Ababio is not a Christian author. Amen. Pierre Nokeke is not a Christian author, but I was forced to read, and I paid, and I bought to read them. So there are certain things you should read. Are you getting me? But that element, that thing, is called a blessing. So you must understand it. Abraham had it. When a man has it, it's like everything just falls into place. Like I look at those, I'm bringing football again. I like to watch football. Even Pastor Wumi is liking football now. When, you know, have you looked at Liverpool this season? They don't play, I can't say they're exactly playing the best of football. But there's a moment where something just always happens. And listen to me, when that thing falls to you, it has fallen to you. Now that thing is not, it doesn't just fall, it's orchestrated. But you see, in the affairs of men, it looks like luck. But there is a realm that controls the realm of men. That realm makes things happen. So bystanders, when people are looking, they'll say, "Kai, this guy is so lucky." You see, that is how your life this year, are you mean? People will be looking at you. Things will be happening in your life. They'll say he was just lucky. You're just in the right place at the right time. But in the realm of the spirit, there's no luck. In the realm of the spirit, there are deliberate activities that make things happen on the earth realm. Abraham had it. Have you noticed? It was impossible to cheat Abraham. Abraham took 318 trained soldiers born in his house, slaves, ordinary men in his house, 318, and went against 5 kings. He fought them, won them, and brought the spoils home. It's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. There was something. And Abraham never claimed that it was ordinary. He knew. He knew where this thing was coming from. There's even a time a king took his wife, because he told them that the wife is his sister, which is technically true, but accurately a lie. Are you guys? Gave his sister, and imagine when the king was returning his wife, aka sister, he returned it with gifts. How many people do that today? There was something. I want you to get this. There was something. There is something. When Abraham was about to die, and that thing makes rich and successful. It makes people rich. It makes them successful. When he was about dying, go to Genesis 25, verse 5. Let's do a bit of Bible study. Let's read verse 4. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, "And the sons of Midian were Ephah. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not a Jew, amen. Hanok, Abida, and Elda. All these were the children of Keturah." Keturah was the mistress that Abraham took, or the second wife he took after Sarah had passed on. The Bible says, "And Abraham," listen now, "gave all," somebody say all, "that he had" to who? To Isaac. He gave all that he had to Isaac. But look at the next verse. The next verse says, "But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east." Abraham didn't have only one child. I hope you know that. His first child was Ishmael. The son of promise was Isaac. Then he had other children. To those children, the Bible says he gave what? Gifts. That's why we don't know them. Gifts are different from the blessing. Gifts are very different. He gave them gifts. I'm sure when he gave them gifts, they were happy. But after he gave them the gifts, he sent them away. But concerning Isaac, the Bible did not say he gave Isaac gifts. He gave Isaac all. That word "all" there speaks of the substance of what produces the gift. It's the blessing. Because go to chapter 26. Go to chapter 26, verse 1. So, chapter 26, verse 1. See, this is the Isaac that God blessed. I want you to follow the pattern. "There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines," where? In Gerar. "Then
The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Did you get it? Now you begin to wonder, how can a man who was just blessed, there's a famine and he's running? That means there was a famine and he was experiencing the famine. Because the Bible says he was considering leaving. Like some of you want to go to Canada. I know you spend all your nights on the internet. I get you checking. Canadian citizen. You've even filled the form halfway. There are some of you seated here so talking because you feel there's famine in Nigeria. No, there's never been such mass exodus of young people out of Nigeria like we've seen in the last 3 to 5 years. Some of you are even listening to me. You have filled your form. You say, Pastor, you say what you are saying. I'm going too. Amen. Say, I know what you're saying. I know. I'm looking at your face. You're saying, yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when people talk to me, I hear. I hear beyond what they are saying. There was a time I was with this young man. And he was telling me how he took someone, and the man was talking to him about Canada. What is he doing here? He said, but I'm here, Sha. You know that I'm here, Sha. I didn't hear that part. You know the part I heard? The man has opened the window for me. That is what I was hearing. So, immediately I said, okay, thanks for being here, Sha. Are you with me? We're together. So I know. Some of you that are laughing, I say, you caught me. It's not word of knowledge. It's word of knowing. By experience, I know where your heart is. Even the national anthem, you don't like singing it again. Some of you have even learnt the U.S. anthem. When they say this year is the year of heaven's dew, you know what some of you are saying? You say that dew will fall on me in Detroit, not in Nigeria. So it's normal. I want you to see the picture. The economy wasn't working, and here is Isaac. I want to leave. Then God appears to him. Why? Why was he going to leave? Because it's the same thing his father did. The moment God blessed Abraham, the next thing is that there was a famine. So the blessing is something spiritual. It's not when somebody gives you a car, you say, oh, they just blessed me with a car. No. Nobody can bless you with physical things. The blessing is spiritual. It's not a physical thing. Nobody can bless you with a house. The blessing produced a house. There are two different things. It is passed through the agency of man. So he was going to run. I mean, you know, the ones who had gifts, nothing is said about them. They were enjoying their gift. So one of the first things I want you to know is that when a man is said to be blessed, he doesn't show in his immediate surrounding, but there's an ultimate goal and purpose of that blessing. It's an empowerment. Abraham had hard times. Are you with me? After the blessing was spoken over him. Isaac, we're seeing, also had what? Hard times. Even you last year, words were spoken over, you had some hard times. It doesn't change anything. Because if you read the latter part of their lives, there's a way they all ended to let you know that this thing is not coincidence. It's a deliberate thing. Because the Bible says, and Abraham was very rich. Genesis 26 says, Isaac was very rich, very successful. So in Genesis 27, Isaac is going to pass this same thing that his father passed to him. To who? To Esau. Don't mix it up. Not to Jacob. To Esau. But something had happened some years ago between Esau and Jacob. What was that? There was a transaction. Esau went to hunt, came back, and was hungry. Jacob was making stew. Obviously, the stew was red. It was like a typical Yoruba soup. Do you understand me? Red with plenty oil. The oil was just on it. So Esau said, can I lick some? Can I have some? Jacob just said, before I give it to you, I want you to give me your firstborn right. Can I ask you a question? Do they sell firstborn right? Do they buy it? Do they measure it? Do you see firstborn on the road? Can you pick it in the dustbin? That means it's a spiritual thing. What was Esau saying? Jacob saying, there's something spiritual you have. I want you to give it to me. You know what Esau said? What is first kai? What is firstborn to me when I am dying in hunger? Was he dying? Death is in the mind. You know, some of you didn't even fast when we were fasting some weeks ago. You know, because something was telling you that if you fast, you would die. You didn't fast. And when they are praying on the group, you go there and say, glory to God. You know yourself. You don't fast. Because something tells you that you will die. Let me tell you, hunger doesn't kill. It's death that kills. So, what is Esau? Somebody who doesn't know the value of spiritual things. Who is living just for the now. I need to have it. See, this now mentality kills. And I'm going to show you, if not today, maybe next Sunday. It kills. It kills. That's the major issue that Cain had. Not that he brought rotten potatoes to God. No. Cain means acquirer. The one, acquisition. This craze for acquisition was Cain's major issue. And that was Esau's issue. And that's why they always like Cain. If you read the New Testament, every time they talk about Cain, they talk about Esau. They are alike. People who can't see life beyond world now, who cannot see eternal things. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 13 that we should not be, is it Hebrews 13 or 12? That we should not be like Esau, a profane person who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. See, let there be no profane person, no fornicator. It's not that Esau was fornicated though. He was not a slave king. He was not going around. There's no record of him fornicating. That word fornicate is where you get the word porno. It means to be self-indulgent. It means to gratify self. And who is an Esau? Somebody who does not know the value of relationship beyond the surface value. Some of you, there are people that God has put into your lives. Are you listening to me? But you can't see past your selfish interest. You can't see past yourself. That's why every relationship that you have in your life, if it's not about you, then nothing works. Then you will not be happy. The only way there can be peace is when you are satisfied. Listen, that will have to change. Because it's not every relationship that comes into your life that is about you. Some is about others. Some is not even about you getting something from them. Some is so that you can learn something from them. See, you can be in an office where you are poorly paid. If you can't dissect the reason for that relationship, you will be crying about salary. Meanwhile, God brought you there to have influence, to understand the mannerisms of kings. So instead of learning the service protocols of how an organization works, you will not learn it. Guess the only thing that will be paying you? Salary, salary, salary. He promised that he was going to pay. This is the third day now. He has not paid. That's my problem with the labor laws in Nigeria. You will be making all manner of noise, not knowing that while you are there, you can learn. How do you meet people? How do you connect with people? How can you interact with such people? In that office, you can have what is more than salary. I met a young man who is always begging me for money. So one day, I now said, you. Doesn't it even disturb you that you beg me for money? That when I'm giving, I'm not happy. And it doesn't even bother you. Every time you come begging me, you all know me. I mean, I think to the best of my ability, I'm a nice person. I do my best to be nice. But I have limits. I'm not El Shaddai. If I'm El Shaddai, I shall die. Are you getting me? And so this guy will just come around. He has a problem. I'll give him money. So at some point, I'll give him the money. I'll not be smiling. I'll be giving him the money angrily. But he doesn't care. Okay? So one day he came. I said, wait, doesn't it even bother you that anytime I'm giving you this money, I'm not smiling? He said, I know you're not happy, but you just, what I want is the money now. You know? That's the important thing. So I told him, I said, do something. So as I was talking to him, I said, what do you do? He said, look, I'm not like I don't know how to do something. I was working with so-and-so person. Well, he told me he was a welder. I said, why are you not going to your duty post? Because in the morning he was begging me for money. I know it's not good to start begging for money in the morning. At least leave it in the afternoon. So I said, go and do something with your life. He said, no, my Oga, this is why I left that place. I'm not happy with the man. I'm the one that will be doing all the jobs, and he'll be collecting all the money. I said, oh. I said, that's why you got angry and left. He said, why will I be doing all the job, and he'll be collecting all the money? I said, look, young man, go back there. That he's giving you his space, his machines, his tools, You can't buy it. I say, right now you're begging me, so I know you don't have it. But if you are there, you are using his tool. You are using his space on your time. With each product you make, you get better. That cannot be paid for. I say, each time you do something, there's something you are learning. You are gaining experience. I say, number two, the customers that come there, they are knowing you. You can't pay for that one. I say, the day you live there and you are established, are you getting me? You will not need another platform to start learning again. You will become an authority. But if you are not patient, you will miss it. Don't be an Esau. Don't be an Esau. Jacob became very rich. Let me jump ahead of myself. Jacob became very rich, not because he had a goat. It's Laban's goat that he was looking after that eventually became his product. But read your Bibles very well. Laban didn't treat him well. True or false? Laban didn't treat him well. Number one is that the first wife, the girl he wanted to marry, Laban deceived him. He worked hard for 7 years. Imagine someone not collecting salary, paying by price. I hope that didn't happen to you. Amen. That's a joke. Imagine Pastor John has been working and working. They say, Pastor John, are they paying? He said, no, Laura, he say, I'm working on something. That was what was happening to Jacob. He was working. After 7 years, they give him the wrong wife. Not because he was legally wrong, but he was taken advantage of. There's a law of the land he didn't know. And that law says, if the first is not married, the second can marry. They kept it away from him. You see how ignorance is? That's why ignorance of the law doesn't protect you. He didn't know. They didn't tell him. And I'm sure it's something Laban and his sons knew. Every time they see him walking, they say, he doesn't know. They say, he doesn't know. I wouldn't know that Leah knew. And I'm sure they warned Rachel, if you talk, you know how he came here. That is how he will go. They were taking advantage of him. After 7 years, they gave him Leah. Well, I don't understand how he found out in the morning. Amen. In the morning, he got to say, hey, what is this? So you have to unveil. Be patient to unveil. Patiently unveil. Don't rush and don't be drunk. Well, because that's the only way it can happen. Praise God. He complains to the father-in-law. The father-in-law said, this is the law now. They called the chief magistrate. He said, that's how it is. He said, I didn't know. He said, sorry, that's your wife. Say, but this is the one I need. So how do we settle it? And you work another 7 years. So the following morning, this is how they compensated him. They took Rachel and gave to him the following day. It's not after another 7 years. Mm-mm. They now gave him. So he married Rachel on credit. So they gave him Rachel and told him to work another 7 years. Let me tell you, that can be very painful in a new marriage. Imagine you are married to a woman and he said, look, I've not finished paying for you. Don't get me angry. You know those kind of... Have you ever bought a piece of equipment you have not finished paying for and the things malfunction? You know, yeah, sometimes your head will be going gaga. So I've not even finished paying and you're already... Then after 14 years, they now begin to work. See, I want you to get it. Then Laban keeps changing his what? His salary 10 times. That's bad. Some of you are complaining about salaries not being paid. Jacob's case is different. Is that they were changing it. Imagine you starting and you say, I got this job. How much are they paying you? 400K a month. Then after 10 years, how much are they paying you? And I say, 40K. Is that progress? 10 times. But he was blessed. But this is what I want you to see. That day, Jacob collected something from Esau. Now, if you read the Bible, you read them in chapters. They did not happen like that. It was many years later. Because when they did this transaction, they were probably in their 40s from Bible history. When Isaac was going to transfer the blessing, it was like another 30 to 40 years. So that thing that happened 40 years ago started taking its turn. How did it happen? He ate something. Then Esau just opened his mouth and said, I give you what? Firstborn right. Didn't it look normal? Didn't it look normal? It look normal. That's how spiritual things are. Sometimes you tell people, don't talk anyhow. They say, that's how I talk. Me, I like speaking my mind. 30 years later, that thing you just said will begin to work. So I'm sure Esau just said, okay, today. In Israel, if you want to confirm a thing, you say it 7 times. So he said, the firstborn right is your own. 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 Give me something, let me eat. I'm sure in his mind he'll be saying, look at him, he's happy now. Give me. I'm sure everything in the house was still operating normal. They were still calling Esau firstborn. This year, may you not lick soup at the expense of your blessing. No, I'm serious. Some of you, your relationship with people, the only thing you're looking for is stew. You lick stew. If the stew finishes, you go to the next person who has what? Stew. No, it's funny, but it's true. You lick stew, you know. You lick stew. You even buy maybe a car. You think you're... That's not all, though. You must lay hold on something. Just stew. Amen. The father said, Esau, come! Go and hunt game. Bring it for me that my soul will bless you. Why didn't the father say, kill a chicken around the house? You know why? There is something about a sacrifice that brings satisfaction that triggers the release of the blessing. You remember when David's men broke through the fort of the Philistines and they went and got water and brought to David. What did David say? Because when they brought, David poured it. He said, this is like blood. I cannot drink from men who have risked their lives to provide me this water. Guess all David said? Oh, that I may drink water from the wells of Bethlehem. Imagine someone just, I wish I can drink water from the wells of... Some soldiers got themselves, broke through the fort of the Philistines. Their enemies went and brought it, went through risk, brought it. They said, David, here is the water. I said, eh? So you asked for water. Waters of Bethlehem. May you be a faithful man. David said, no, I can't drink this. Those men rose to become mighty men. That's what Isaac was saying. Go and hunt. It takes time. Then come back as a conqueror that my soul will bless you. But because firstborn right had been swapped many years ago, the mother was not even there when this thing happened. Guess who God positioned for Jacob? The mother. The mother was eavesdropping on their conversation. He said, this thing cannot come on this boy. It has to come on this other one. Not because she knew, but because things had changed in the realm of the spirit. So the mother now went and killed two goats, prepared the meal like the father will want, because she knows exactly where what to do that will touch the father's heart. Took the animal skin with the blood on it. Don't forget that. This happened one day. Took it with the animal blood and put it on the part of the body that the father would touch and said, Jacob, go before your father. Here's what he needs. Jacob was scared at first. Jacob said, if my father discovers that I'm not the one, the voice will be different and I'm not hairy. And he curses me because he knows that if anything negative comes out of that mouth, he's sealed forever. You know what the mother said? It will not come upon you. If anything will happen, let the curse come upon me. What happened for Jacob was that God provided him a substitute. Rebecca, Jesus is your type of Rebecca. Yeah. That's why it's a work of grace. He didn't work for it. He didn't work for it. He didn't pay any price for it. It was just a pronouncement that was made upon him by Esau that changed everything. The same way Jesus has pronounced you righteous. Yeah. Understand this year that you are a product of grace. Took it. He brought it before the father. This is what I want you to see. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
He's standing in front of the father. He said, my son, how did you come quickly? He said, who is this? Is that Esau? Guess the answer that Jacob gave. Yes, he's your son. Are you Esau? He said, yes. He said, so how did you get it so quickly? Doesn't matter. He said, come here, let me touch you. He said, well, the voice is the voice of Jacob. But this is Esau. There's a smell. This is the smell of a conqueror. Because when you wrestle with animals and you come back as a conqueror, there's a smell you carry. It's the hunter's smell. It is the smell of a conquering hunter. Esau went through this to satisfy me. But who was there? Jacob. Now, there are two things I want you to learn here. Number one, did Jacob go as Jacob? Jacob went as Esau. In the same way, in our relationship with God, we don't go as us. We go in the name of our own Esau. His name is Jesus. That's why Jesus taught in John 16, I think verse 23. He said, in that day, you will not need to ask me anything, to ask the Father. He said, you can go to the Father directly. He said, and whatever you ask the Father, in my name, I will do that for you. See, that scripture is not saying, hallelujah. He said, whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he will give you. See, he didn't say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, we'll think about it. Mm-mm. If Esau couldn't be denied on the basis of his conquest and the blessing came upon Jacob, in the same way, you can also not be denied if you come in the name of Jesus. But what does it mean to come in the name of Jesus? It is not saying when we pray, we'll pray and say, in Jesus' name. That is not it. To come in the name of Jesus is to come in the consciousness and capacity of Jesus. You know the problem some of you have? When you pray, you still see yourself as you. That's why your prayers are weak. Every time you pray, Father, it is me again. The weak, it is me. I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but you have brought me here. So, Father, all I'm asking, let this man release my salary. That is all I'm asking you. Father, I'm asking that this, my son, you will help him. Help him, Father, so that he can have a job. Because how can a child graduate since? It's 4 years now, and work is not coming. Father, give my son a job. Oh. Then you now remember to add, in Jesus' name. That is not what Jesus was saying in John 16:23. It's not to use his name as a signature. There's a place to use his name as a signature. But this is not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that when you are coming before the Father, this is what we call righteousness. You must come as Jesus in the consciousness that the same way Jesus approaches the Father without any fear of denial. That when you are talking, it is Jesus who is talking to the Father. That is how I pray. That is how I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm not going there and say, I am Jesus' representative. I am Jesus. As he is in this world, as we are in this world, so is he. The way Jesus is, I go in the consciousness. Jacob did not come there and say, I am coming in the name of Esau. But he was standing in the consciousness of Esau. Listen, if you want to succeed this year, enter offices like Jesus. Enter places like Jesus. Even in your prayer work, approach the Father as Jesus, without any fear. See, this you always have mistakes. You always have mistakes. There will always be T's to cross and I's to dot, or I's to dot and T's to cross. There will always be something that is lacking. How many of you know, the best person Jesus met under the law, the best, a young man, the best, still had something lacking. Jesus met him and said, he met Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. What did he say? He said, I've observed all these things from my youth. The Bible says Jesus loved him. Why did Jesus love him? You try. He knew the guy wasn't lying. If he was a liar, Jesus would have told him, you are lying. But Jesus loved him. He said, you, man, you are the first person I'm seeing that I've asked this question and said, I've done all this from my youth. I'm impressed. One thing you lack. You see, that's how the law is. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. The guy said, hey, no, all that I have, I should sell it. No, not invest it. I should sell it and give it to the... Since when? He turned, he said, Jesus, your ways are hard. That's why I did bye-bye. You know why? If you ever want to do anything with God, you will always find something missing in your life. But if you come in the capacity of Christ, you will always stand before him whole and bold. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. We come wow, boldly. Can I ask you a question? What is it too big that the Father would deny Jesus? Is there anything that if Jesus asks the Father would deny? Will the Father ever tell Jesus that, Jesus, take it easy? So if there is nothing too big that Jesus would deny, what makes you think that there is something you will ask in that capacity and you'll be denied? All your dreams, visions, and goals are not too big for 2020. They are not too big for God in 2020. But I want you to understand what led to the tithe. Then the Father said, I like the way you smell. The smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. That's what led to that, the smell. That means you have conquered. I can perceive a victor. I can perceive a champion. I can perceive a conqueror. Are you no more than conquerors in Christ? That means in the realm of the spirit, there's a way God sees you. It might look like right now you don't even have a house, but if God looks at you, this is how he goes. He has blessed me. Thank you. It might even look like you are entering that office looking for a job, but guess the way God sees you. Wow. See that conqueror going there. That's why I was so blessed, Pastor. I thank you. You guys blessed me this morning. You know, when you're singing that song, I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I'm walking in favor. Don't just sing it in church. Get up every day. Tell yourself, I am the blessed man. I was telling my wife recently, I said, there are no conditions to the things that work in my life. The only condition is that I set my hand to you. Calm down. Some of you are thinking, what did you just say? The Bible says, whatsoever I do, you didn't select. Let me tell you, this will shock you. If I go into oil and gas today, I leave ministry. A blessed man, whatever he does, succeed. But it doesn't mean that whatever he succeeds in is the will of God. Don't mix it up. I know I have friends who are successful, who are supposed to be preaching. So just because you are succeeding in something doesn't mean you are in the will of God. See, you know what's like? God is bound by covenant. If I say tomorrow, Pastor Steve, I hand over church to you. Continue, you are the new general of Assyria of Christ Foundation. You are the new mama. Are you getting me? I hand over to you people. They say, where are you going to? I say, man, I want to find out my life. I'm going for. Then after I sometimes say, Pastor Rome, the guy is, I saw him in Lagos. You know, he's into oil and gas. I know some of you will be cursing me here. Nothing will work. Come back. Nothing will work for him. He will do this. He will come. He must. He's alive. If I bring God into it and I stand in the capacity of Christ, Abba, God will know it. Tomorrow you will be hearing that I'm prospering, I'm succeeding, and I'll be sending you tithe. The truth. But that does not mean I'm in the will of God. You're all quiet. So can I even shock you? You are not failing because you are in the will of God. You are not failing because you don't understand righteousness. That's your major issue. He's saying, it's because I'm not clean myself. That's why I've not been pregnant. The girl that has been aborting every 2 months, are you getting me? Is she in the will of God? Pregnancy is not a product of the will of God. There's a devil troubling you, don't know how to address him. That's where righteousness comes in. You're all quiet. How many times does the vulture pray before he has young? Jacob just stood there. Some of you say he was lying. He was not lying. As at that time, he's Esau. He's not a liar. Esau gave me this thing that it's only firstborns that can stand here. And it has been conferred on me. I'm standing here. Name doesn't matter. The father even said, look, the voice is the voice of Jacob. But the smell, there is this. And what matters is what? The smell. He had the smell. The father blessed him. When Esau came, Esau started crying. Father, I've come. He said, hey! It's the way the father shouted that made me know that this blessing is not a thing to joke with. He just said, hey! So who did I just bless? So when you are saying God give you the dew of heaven, he wasn't talking to Jacob. He was talking to Esau. God is not talking to you. There's a Christ you carry. There's a seed you carry. There's something that God is addressing in you. This has changed my perspective. God's purpose for my life is bigger than Aram Etukula from Omala local government in Kogi State. It's bigger than it. Your origin, he says, is because I'm from Nigeria. Nigeria is not your problem. There are people in Europe who are suffering. When I was in London some months ago, we were passing at Stratford, old Stratford. We were passing, and there was a guy sitting there and begging. White guy. I know all of you think white people are successful. White guy was lying there. He was begging. I was with Reverend Ada. When he turned, I saw him. I had a good laugh. Rev just turned and told me. He said, man, anywhere you are, bro, you have to have faith. The only difference between him and the beggars here is that he had a nice blanket. See, but he was a beggar. and he needed that blanket, that cold. Are you getting me? So in UK, some of you have this put away message. The easiest place to do business and succeed anywhere in the world is Nigeria. I'm telling you, if you say you have ideas, one of the easiest places to actualize your vision and idea, say, you know, they don't really have limits and control here. They only have politics. Don't mix it. They are two different things. And if God gives you wisdom to navigate the parts of politics in this country, you are made. And God can give you that wisdom. You know where to talk. You know the Yoruba person to bring. I have to talk to Yoruba. I have to talk to Igbo. You know the Hausa man's problem. You know the Igbo man's. Once you know all those issues in Nigeria, I get to me, half your problem is solved. Then you know how to enter into government offices. Somebody say, ah, meet me after service, I can tell you. Are you mean? There are ways. There's a culture here. But it's easy when they tax heaven out of you in some of these places. Is it not here you could park your cars outside and came and sat here? Go to Europe. Anywhere you park, they are timing you. As you are going, they say, this is how much for parking. Everything is taxed. Everything is taxed. So if you are crying here, let me tell you, God needs to help you. You know, you cry more there. The only difference is that, well, they have good street lights. And then, so you like Mr. Biggs. And you like tantalizer. You like food. When you go there, you see plenty places to eat. But I can assure you, after 2 years, you discover that life is more than what to eat. Then you now settle down into reality. When they are, you know, the issue is that your people will not think you are abroad, but you can't help them. You know, those first years you go, you'll be snapping Facebook pictures. Go and check now. Most people are in Europe. The early days when they go, there are plenty of pictures. Then with time, the pictures start reducing because they start settling to real life. They don't have time to take pictures. Check the people who have been in Europe for 10 years. How many of them post pictures? There's no time. Life has begun. It's when you arrive first. It's when you arrive first. Are you getting me? Live in the LA. Don't worry. We're doing that. We're doing that. We're doing it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sympathy. You are coming from Africa. Are you getting me? They'll just be sympathizing with you. After that, it's in UK that somebody will be squatting you and say, okay, why are you squatting? You'll be paying this amount. Here, you squat in somebody's house. You eat the person's food, drink his water. Are you getting me? And abuse his wife. Abuse his wife, abuse his, you go and say the man's wife is too stingy. Have you married your own? No, there's a lot of leisure in Africa. Yeah. In Africa, there's too much leisure. People complain about their uncle's wife as though they've been married before. Get up in the morning, free DSTV, water, you are bathing, you are eating, you are not doing anything, you are complaining. I say, Kai, my auntie's, my uncle's wife, she can't cook, she's trying. The problem is the salt. So every time, I mean, salt is much. My problem is the salt. You fail to realize that her problem is you. Do you understand me? Your own problem is the salt. Her own problem is you. Amen. The moment the blessing comes upon Esau, upon Jacob, Esau becomes sad. Says, I'm going to kill him. You know, the first thing you must realize that you are blessed doesn't mean you won't have haters. Yeah. Check Jacob. Check Joseph. Have you seen people who hate you for no cause? They even have more things than you, but they're always threatened by you. Don't blame them. It's the demon in them. The demon that's advising them is seen past where you are. And they always try to put you down. When you even share a testimony, they say, what is that? Is that testimony? Come and hear your testimony. Anything that excites you, make them sad. They have four cars. You just bought your first Tokumbo car. You go and show them. Instead of rejoicing with you, guess the first thing they ask you, at this time in your life now, is that what you need? Have you met people like that? Some of them, you are not mates. I'm not talking about your mates. People that are meant to encourage and lift you. They say, is that what you need? I remember when I got my first car some years ago. I was so happy. You know, I was driving and putting one hand outside. You know, when you're young, you like many things. You don't put your hand. I'm a young man, oh, praise God. Just hanging. So I went to this house of one of our mothers. So the children came out. They were my friends. They said, wow. Pastor, may I have a car? I said, yeah, you got the car. I was a Mercedes. In those days, 190. 190 in those days was A serious car. Amen. It was really 190. Now it's sold for the price of a laptop. Now. But then it was a good car. So I sat in my 190. So their mother came out because I was still in the university. She was wondering how university students are. She just said, Arome. You know, when people drop pastor from front of your knee, know that they struggle. Arome. I say, ma. I heard you got a car. I said, eh. She said, okay. Because she had the Peugeot. Do the math. She went to the door, opened, saw it, came back and sat down. I said, it's God. God moved somebody's heart. The person seated the car to me. Person, you know, sometimes you'll be innocently sharing your testimony. I said, God just moved somebody and they gave me the car. I drove the car. You know, I said, no, the car is. He said, the person that gave you this car, he doesn't know that he has given you trouble. As you are like this, can you maintain, as you are like this, instead of focusing on your school, can you maintain a car? So I just smiled. I don't even know why I didn't take offense, because I was not. I just said, I don't know, the God that brought the car, he will maintain it. He said, see, that's my problem with you young people. When I tell you, say, God that brought the car, God will maintain it. She's still with that. Okay, she has finally changed it. Amen. But she was still with that, her car, maintaining it in her strength. But the God that has been giving me cars, amen, has been maintaining the cars that I drive. So don't think it's strange that people envy you. Even when nothing is seemingly showing, there is something about your life. Out of envy, Jacob ran. Are you with me? As he ran. Glory. It was on this journey that he had this encounter. It was on this journey, running away from home to the house of Laban, that he had this encounter. So where he was hard pressed on all sides, running from the comfort of his home, being chased by a brother he's lived all his life with. Are you getting me? Not sure of ever seeing his father. And I mean, that was the last time I saw the dad. He was running for his life. But can I tell you something? He was running, but he was blessed. Give me Ephesians 1:3. You might be running. I don't know what you're running. I don't know where you're headed. But can I speak to you? You are blessed. He made a covenant with God at that place of encounter. Why is it that of all the things, why did he say, this is what I will do? When there was no law of Moses, why was he particular about what? The tithe. Why did he say, God, I'm making a vow. I'll give to you a tenth of whatever you give to me. That means he already saw himself having it. He saw the possibilities of it. And he made a vow. There's something about the tithe and greatness. There's something about the tithe and possibilities. There's something about the tithe and winning. Sorry to say, even that the freeze can't help you with this revelation. It has to become a what? A revelation to you. And I want CFC to catch that revelation. Because all the prophecies that have come concerning 2020 is for some serious-minded covenant people who are moving in certain directions. Are you one of such? You know the good news? In Christ Jesus, you are blessed. Go, can I hear you? Amen. Say, I'm blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Like Isaac put his hand upon Jacob, thinking it was Esau. How many of you can see God putting his hands upon you, seeing Jesus Christ, and calling you blessed? Let me tell you, nothing can stop you in 2020. No, they didn't hear me. I said, nothing can stop you in 2020. Receive of a dew of heaven, fatness of the earth, plenty corn and wine. Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. Nothing. Hear me and hear me well. Nothing can stop you from succeeding. Should I say it again? Nothing. No devil. No charm. No divination. No wickedness. Nothing. Even your background. Not even the laws in this country. Jacob was in Laban's house, but even Laban's law and manipulation could not stop him. Nigeria cannot stop you. All things are working together for your good. As I round up, before we sit down this morning, amen. You know, I want to thank God for Pastor John. Come. You're a married man. Praise the Lord. We're talking about him yesterday in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I told him, congratulations. You're a married man. I'm happy. I know that was a capital project. No, I'll bring your wife later. I know that was a capital project. Everybody remembers God during wedding time. Every man. I know what I'm saying. Everything begins to make sense. Even the praise and worship, they will be hearing revelation inside. Because they need God. They need God. Well, I've known Pastor John for many years. Not as a pastor. No, I knew him when he was in. Can I say primary school? Amen. He was a cute. He has always been cute, praise God. He was a cute young boy. Amen. Because they used to come around and I used to see him with Maha on Friday, Sunny. He was small. So if I call them, if I say he was a small boy, he's my younger brother. Amen. Some of you are from the community where you grew. In that community where he grew, they were not from the wealthiest of families. There were people whose parents were managers. So we all entered into that community through our parents and their pedigree. Some were managers. Some were senior staff, some were junior staff, some were casual staff. Amen. His family was not dancing at the top echelon. Yesterday, we heard how in those days, John, are you getting me? Did not even have the luxury of having all the textbooks that other kids had. So in primary school, when other people will close from school, are you getting me? And they are going. Him and Maha, when they give them assignments, he will collect the books, he will borrow the books of the other children to do his assignment in class before going home. That was then. Hallelujah. Then I knew him when he was doing other things. This one time he was even a photographer. I remember when he was a photographer. Then he was working in the supermarket. I remember very well because he gave me 2 singlets in the supermarket one time. And then he got the university. He even had issues at the point in time. He kept believing, but then he got born again. Hallelujah. When I sat down yesterday, I was just looking. I said, this is life. When the blessing hits a man, it doesn't matter where the blessing is coming from. He's not standing in any, he's not inferior to anybody. You know why? Redemption is the great equalizer. I have seen people who have the advantages he did not have, and I look at them today, they are not where he is. You know why? When God enters a man's life and this substance called the blessing comes upon you, it negates background. Stop fighting for your parents' things. See, stop all those. No, stop. If they give you a good pedestal, fine. If they don't give it to you, it's not an excuse. In Christ Jesus, you are blessed. That's why this year you are all rising from wherever you are coming from. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will also be sitting in the corridors of power. You will be talking to men of great influence. See, God has raised you up to inherit this land. And I'm telling you, the next 10 years, they are yours. Am I talking to someone? This city is yours. That place where you are, it is yours. In the name of Jesus. And I'm saying to you, nothing can stop you from becoming what God has designed for you to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing. I say nothing. You will live in the best. You will thrive in the best. You are the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. God give you the dew of heaven. Every day you wake up, brand new opportunities, brand new opportunities, brand new opportunities. You will not lack the people you need. You will not lack the opportunities. You will not miss the moments. In the name of Jesus. This is that year that you are rising out of obscurity. Rising out of nothing. Rising out of that. Some of you have been dwelling in caves. Hear my voice. This is the year that you will be unveiled. This is the year that you will be showcased. This is the year your name will be ringing on every heart. The same blessing that came upon Abraham is resting upon you. He is making your name great. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is nothing ordinary about you. Hear me. I came here to tell you, this is your time. This is your moment. I release you from every suppressive leadership, every oppressive system. I break you out of it in the name of Jesus. The nations are yours. Ayaya marakato satalaba. The nations are yours. Hearts are open unto you. Like Joseph, this year you will say, the Lord has caused me to forget the pains of my father's house. The sorrows of my father's house, the Lord has caused me to forget it. You are held in everlasting remembrance. Lift your hands up to heaven. Receive this morning. Rabakato sandalaba bashataya laba. Go ahead and give him praise. Rabakato sandalaba bakata sutan. Lebrato sandalaba bakata zovrata satalaba. Go ahead and receive this morning. Rabato sufegedo sata. Rabata sandalaba kalaboshe kala. There is no curse upon you. No curse upon you. The blessing is mightily at work in your life. Open your mouth and begin to say, the blessing is at work in my life. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter where I'm standing. It doesn't matter what is happening. It doesn't matter what they said. Open your mouth and begin to say, I am blessed. I am blessed. You are blessed. Hallelujah. Begin to declare.
am blessed. I am favored. Mandala Brantos and Alaba Halebre. The Bible says the Lord will bless the righteous with favor. He will encompass him like a shield. Ramakata Sotalabaya. Mandalebo Kosapatea. Ramama. No, I need to open your mouth and declare it. It's when you declare that it's established. Declare it. I'm blessed because I'm in Christ. I am blessed. I am favored. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm in the right place at the right time. It's what you say that you have. Hallelujah. Rabba kalaba kalaba ha. Elamu kala subaranoshi alaba katalaba. Alaba no shana. It doesn't matter the negative words that have been spoken over you. Nobody, 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 nobody can keep you down. In the name of Jesus, manda raba kato shanda alaba mabaha. Elamu shatai alaba. Eba, your family is breaking out. Your business is breaking out. Your brand is breaking out. Whatever God is deposited in you, in the name of Jesus, Ebaro Shandala Baba, Rakatano Shandala Baba, Rabakato Shatala Bana Shova, Rabakatazo Galaba, go ahead and receive it, receive it, receive it. In the name of Jesus, it is yours, it is yours, it is yours, it is yours. The curse is broken, the limitations are lifted, they are lifted, they are lifted, they are lifted, they are lifted. Mata Shandala Baba, Rababa Kato Shandala Baba. Glory! Somebody lift the shout of victory. Thank you, Lord.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.